9:45. It's Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. Where the new season of Larry Potash's Backstory premiered last night. Larry's on the line with us right now to talk about it. The show that happened last night, if you missed it, will be repeated every Sunday night as well. Larry, are you there? Good morning. Larry is there. Good morning.
Can you hear me, Dean?
Can hear you now. Yes, good morning.
Great. I'm just moving around. Trying to find a good spot for you.
Excellent. No, you sound perfect. So congrats on the new season of Backstory, first of all. Season 4 of this series, now on a new night. It's Saturday. The original run is Saturday nights at 10 p.m. Central Time, but it will be repeated every Sunday night at 11 o'clock as well. So I thought, as we had done before, we'll continue to check in with you during the season to see what you have coming up. I happened to see the show last night, and boy, some really interesting things. We were talking about, kind of old-time rock and roll a little bit this morning with the death of Ginger Baker from the group Cream, but it takes me back also into those early days of the Rolling Stones. And you talked with a guy who, as a kid, became sort of part of the inner circle of the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, it seems strange that you could run into the Rolling Stones walking down the street in New York City in 1978, but you could. And he had, of course, this is before the days of computers, just this crappy-looking newsletter because he loved the Stones and was able to hand it to them coming out of a party one morning. And that began a relationship where they kind of include him in their inner circle, and he's eating dinner at their houses and hanging out with them and traveling with them. And boy, what a dream for a teenager to be doing that with a band like the Rolling Stones. So in the end, he gets a little too close to them, and his fun ends up feeling like work. But it was a really interesting story where he realizes after many years of being absorbed into that world of drugs and fighting and rock stars that there's more to life than rock music.
Yeah, he actually got lucky that he had that realization, because it could have wound up pretty tragic. Get somebody who's a teenager in a world like that, that is so full of decadence, that could be very enticing to a kid.
Yeah, and he was I don't know how religious he was, but he was in a religious family going to a religious Orthodox Jewish school in Brooklyn. And his parents kind of gave him some freedom, which is, looking back, is a little bit surprising. But he said that's part of the reason that they included them, because they knew he wasn't going to steal their money and steal their silverware. and the Stones already had a ton of people who were already doing that.
Yeah, it's a fascinating story, very definitely. If you're a fan of the Rolling Stones, imagine as a kid you idolize these guys, and then to suddenly be part of their inner circle is very interesting. And to get a real-life perspective of what some of these guys are like off the stage, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, what surprised me, I'm not a big Rolling Stones fan. I didn't know much about them, but my impression as a layperson was Mick Jagger is sort of this kind of cool, smart guy, and Keith Richards is a train wreck, right? And it turns out that Keith Richards is actually very, very nice, down to earth, and generous with his time. And Mick Jagger is depends on what day he wakes up on the bed. He can be a real pain in the neck, and it could be a nice guy, but he was, certainly a huge diva, if you will.
Yeah, I was so surprised when I saw that in the report on Backstory last night that Keith seemed to be the more down to earth one. It's exactly opposite what your perceptions are for that. Also, tell me about the story of this cool find that a demolition guy discovered. Of these little pieces of photographic glass. This is amazing.
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of chapters of history, especially ones we do in backstory, like let's say it's the Revolution or the Salem witch trials, you can go to Wikipedia and find a couple of lines on it. This is not a story that you would find a couple of lines on in Wikipedia, but the salvage guy goes into this house and he thinks he's going to get all the expensive, cool stuff for his business and realizes his competition kind of beat him to it. So he's despondent. He goes up to the attic and tries to find something. And he sees a bump in the attic in the insulation. He tears it up, and he finds a bunch of stuff, including these glass plates. And he puts them together like a puzzle and realizes it's a famous family with whose story intersects with a political assassination in Chicago and a conversation with Hitler in the future. So he came away with a really valuable story, even though he didn't come away with any much valuable hardware, if you will.
Just that somebody would find something like this. I mean, literally to find a bunch of pieces of broken glass and to think to put them together like a jigsaw puzzle to try to uncover the history of them is fascinating.
And it's 100, they're 100 years old. So that means that of the, whatever it was, I can't remember, the 5, 7, 9 families that had lived in that house after this family, nobody went up in the attic, apparently.
Well, I mean, nobody was looking under the insulation, right?
Right.
You know, who even wants to mess with any of that stuff? But
And here's the huge coincidence. The salvage guy's girlfriend is an expert in glass plates. She shoots that photography like one of a handful of people probably in the Midwest who even does that. So she had all the equipment for him to kind of, you know, make something out of this and do the detective work. Yeah, it was a really cool story.
Yeah, it really was fascinating. And these images are fascinating. You ended the show with sort of a montage of these really amazing images that have been hidden in the attic in insulation for all of these years. It's a really cool thing to have seen.
The glass plates kind of make it almost look a little three-dimensional. Like, right. They look like, you know, usually when you see those old photographs, it's very flat and, you know, it looks like it was taken 300 years ago, not 100 years ago. Right. And they just seem more lifelike for pictures that are 100 years old.
Yeah, and I guess I think that's how they made photographs way back in the day with glass plates. They put the images on these glass plates, and from there they were able to print them onto some kind of paper-like substance that people had. So, I mean, these are like finding the negatives, really. These are old-school negatives.
Yeah. So that was part of that exposure where you and this is why a lot of the photos of that generation, nobody's smiling because you had to sit there for a while as the camera did the exposure, and who wants to sit there and smile for, God forbid, for 20 seconds?
Right.
And so they were really surprised that one of these plates included a dog, because to get a dog to sit there for that long, that was amazing.
That is so amazing. So that's all on the season premiere episode of Backstory, which the encore performance is tonight at 11 o'clock on WGN-TV, and then also it's coming Wednesday at 7 o'clock on CLTV, but from now on, you'll be able to see the first run of Backstory Saturday nights at 10 o'clock, and then the repeat Sunday night, the repeat the following Wednesday night as well. And I know you've got some pretty cool stuff coming up in weeks to come as well, right?
Yeah, next week we have a space episode, which will include like these missile silos all across the Midwest that I didn't even know were there. You've probably driven by it and not even know it. In fact, in Montrose Harbor, there's a little restaurant there that's built on top of one. Some of them are not really there anymore, but we went into one that's out in Vernon Hills. And the people that worked 100 yards from this place, they didn't even know what it was. So we're going to take a look at these missile silos. We're going to talk to a guy about how NASA sold the moon mission to America, which we like to think that we were all on board, but we were not. And we will look at a group of kids who are trying to retrieve a meteor from under the water in Lake Michigan, which has not been done before. So a cool moon episode, or a space episode, if you will, next week.
That's all next Saturday night at 10 o'clock on WGN-TV. When do I make my Backstory premiere?
Oh, yeah.
I know we've got...
Yeah, you were great.
Yeah, we have an episode. Is that for Halloween? Are you doing that for around Halloween?
Yeah, the Sunday before Halloween, we have we were able to get a hold of church documents related to the original Exorcist case that inspired the famous movie, and you were kind enough to give us some perspective on that from the entertainment element of that story. And it's really interesting when you see the documents of how this all played out. We also do the Salem witch trials, and the week before that, we go to my hometown of Lynn, Massachusetts, to explore 19th century spiritualism.
Look at you. Look at you getting all paranormal.
It's not so normal when I'm doing it, believe me.
That's why I said paranormal.
Okay.
Larry Potash's backstory is Saturday nights at 10 o'clock, repeating Sunday nights, and then also Wednesdays on CLTV. Larry, have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Dean. Take care.
There's Larry Potash, his backstory.